Lord Jesus, and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to gather in your house and once again to study your word. Help us now as we continue studying about your doctrine and the word doctrine and how it's used in your word. We thank you so much for the opportunity to lead, guide, and direct all of it as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. So we pick it back up here in 1 Timothy in chapter 1. A warning, a statement, a teaching from Paul delivered to Timothy in this letter concerning not to teach any foreign doctrine or to teach any ungodly doctrine, but only the doctrine of Christ, only the truth that is taught by Jesus Christ to us. And as it reads in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. What was going on was they were bringing in other doctrines, other teachings, other guidelines, other things that were not taught by Jesus Christ, trying to add things into it or to alter things for their own selfish desires. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Now, the endless genealogies was they were trying to say that they were better than someone else or more preferred or holier or righteous, more righteous because of their bloodline. And the fables, of course, you know what fables are. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. So we are to focus on the truth. And the truth is going to lift you up and is going to keep you on the right pathway. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of the pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from whence some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jaggling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. As I said, they were those that were coming in that were getting into the ministry because they were seeing an opportunity to be lifted up as something special. And they would bring in fables and false teachings. And we have a lot of warnings in here about false teachers. And the false doctrine was what they were teaching. They were teaching lies. And we see that today, clearly, we've seen that all through the ages. Those that get into the ministry for their own selfish desires, own selfish gain, and they'll preach sermons and they'll teach things that the people want to hear. Even falsehoods, like he says, fables, in order to keep a congregation or in order to keep the money coming in or in order for them to be lifted up as something special. And that's what he was dealing with back then. Because we know Timothy is in training here under Paul to become a leader, to become a pastor. So these are guidelines that he's teaching him in that. And now turn over to chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, as he further teaches Timothy concerning doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we could appear. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Note the reference to doctrine. If you are a born-again Christian and you're in a situation where you have someone that is over you, these settings that he's speaking of here were bond servants, but this can be expanded even to employer-employee relationships. And we need to, if we have a job, we need to give the work that you're being paid for. You need to behave in a godly way. You need to bring honor to the Lord, not to cheat the one that you're supposed to be working for. But we see way too many times people cheat. They're supposed to be working, but they sit back and don't do what they're supposed to be doing. In that, they're actually stealing. And that's not bringing honor to the Lord. You're becoming a disgrace to the Lord in that way. And we are to honor the position that we've been granted as Christians, to be in a setting to where we can have a good testimony. And in honoring whoever is above you, you're respecting them. And if they're going to hire you to do something, you best do it exactly how you've been hired to do. If you're on an hourly wage, then give him a fair day's work for the fair day's wages. And even in this situation he's also referring to, that many of them were bond servants, and a bond servant was someone who had a debt, and they would attach themselves, sometimes voluntarily, sometimes not voluntarily, to the one they owed that debt to, and they would have to serve them until that debt was paid off. And he's saying you need to honor that situation as well. Verse 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And verse 2 addresses the ones that are the employers, or those that are the masters, if reference here, or those that have somebody that is a bond servant under them. So they are supposed to be respecting that bond servant or employee as a fellow Christian, not to be looking down at them just because they owe you some money. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Note, the reference to teaching and the reference to godly doctrine, the reference to the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that's what we need to stand on, not something else that comes in and perverts the truth. As he continues, he addresses this, verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil summonings. So these that are contrary to the word of God stir up all kinds of trouble in all kinds of ways. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. What he's referring to here are those that were in a position of wealth that had employees or servants, and they would start getting puffed up with all kinds of arrogance and thinking that they were better than somebody, and then looking down at others when they're supposed to be looking at the other fellow Christians, even if they're their employees or bondservants, as equals. But yet so many of them got puffed up with their arrogance and pride because of what they had acquired. In verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. He's not saying that those that are rich, or those that get rich, note how he has put it here, but they that will be rich, this is those that have a burning desire to be rich by any means. They want that. That is their priority. That is their goal. Rather than becoming rich because the Lord has blessed you with prosperity because of your obedience, because of your godliness. These are those that have gone at it in whatever way they could, even to the point of cheating their employees or cheating others in order to be rich. That was their primary goal. Their will was to be rich. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. So many ways to try to cheat someone else or to step on someone else to get up to that higher position. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some converted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here he's even talking about those that had gotten to the point where they were wealthy and trusted in the Lord, but didn't let go of their lustful desires to keep that money or to lift that up higher than serving the Lord. And it was to their demise. As it says, many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That's what we need to truly seek, not to seek the great wealth. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Just as the Lord taught us in his sermons, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you, because he had just went over a whole list of things that we might desire to have and need. The same thing here. Seek the Lord first. Let that be your priority. Then if he blesses you with wealth, don't let that wealth be built up to the point where it is more important to you than serving the Lord. Now, instruction given directly to Timothy here. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate, witness a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in this teaching that he's teaching is a basis of doctrine. He's when in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Acknowledge him as the ultimate authority. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Like we were speaking of earlier, those that are rich, that are wealthy, that become Christians, or those Christians that become wealthy, teach them, let them know, not to let that wealth be a distraction to them. Because he tells us in the Word, we can't serve Lord and mammon or wealth or prosperity. You got to serve one or the other. It isn't that you have to give up all your wealth. You just got to keep it in the right perspective. As he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, because they can get puffed up by, oh, I'm so wealthy. I'm so much better than those others that aren't wealthy. No, they're just blessed. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. That's who we really need. That's the real wealth to have. Who giveth us richly of all things to enjoy. The things that the Lord gives us, that's the things that are of great value. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That verse 19 there is a key thing about how some people, their wealth is for them to set up their lives in the future, They want to build up this great nest egg, many people will call it that, and they build all that up, and they're focused on that, and they might not be around to enjoy it. It might be gone, might be given to somebody else. But if we build up treasures that really count, those are the treasures that are for eternity in heaven. Verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. A warning there at the end about false teachings, about false doctrine, about even false science that can be such a distraction. To be very aware of that, leery of that. Stay away from it. All right, now 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's pick it up here in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, of course this is again Paul sending a letter to Timothy, the last letter that he would send anyone. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. There again, he's talking about getting things in the right order, in the right perspective, putting things as what's most important up front, and that is to serve the Lord. And all these other things can be side issues or side problems or side concerns or side occupations or activities, not to lift them up and get them in the way. Keep your focus on what's most important, and that is to do the will of the Lord. Verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Very important verse there that really sums it all up when it comes to knowing the word of God, knowing the doctrine, knowing what you need to have to walk the pathway you need to be on. You have to study it. You have to study the doctrine. You have to study the prophecies. You need to study the history. You need to study the whole word of God. So then you'll be ready for the onslaught of the devil. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing, that means you have it all put together properly. Because the way it is broken up between the histories and the prophecies and the way it's organized in the Bible, many times you have to take some out of the Old Testament, combine it with the New Testament to get the full picture. When you rightly divide it, you are looking at all the pieces of the puzzle and you're putting them together in the right way so that they can be understood. In verse 16, a caution here, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. This vain babblings, this is just worthless words. They don't have no real content. And their word will eat as it doeth a canker, and whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. He's naming two folks here that were causing such trouble, that were just spewing out words that have no real content, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. So those false teachings out there, if you study, then you'll understand when you hear something that is contrary to the Word of God. Because he's warning Timothy here about a couple folks that are out there spreading false doctrine, spreading the false teachings, saying that the resurrection had already passed, and getting a lot of people upset, a lot of people really concerned that they had missed out. And you have even those today that are doing such things that they're saying that the tribulation has already begun, that we've been in the tribulation time for quite some time, but there's going to be a rapture before the tribulation. So there's a lot of false teaching that has been going on all the way back. And we'll increase the closer we get to the fulfillment of the final prophecies of the last days. So there's a lot that we can see in these studies of things that have gone on in the past in comparison to what's going on today and what will go on tomorrow. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We've got one more here in Timothy we can finish up with tonight. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, pick it up in verse 1. I charge thee therefore, of course this is still Paul charging Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Note the emphasis on to preach the gospel, to teach what is correct. And the doctrine is the guidelines that we find in the Word of God. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, they don't want to hear the hard stuff. They don't want to hear the sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the strict guidelines that the Lord taught us. That's what he's speaking of. He's saying there'll be a time when that happens. Well, that's clearly today. Because that's a lot going on right now, is people who don't want to hear the sound doctrine. They don't want to hear that they have to be controlling their behavior. They want to be as free to do anything they want and get away with it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So if you really study it, if you really understand the Word of God, and then share what you know, apply what you know, go into it deeply, learn the teachings of the Lord, the doctrine, the guidelines that he has told us, and stick by those, not let them be twisted or altered or even perverted by man's lustful desires to achieve something of his own or to lift up himself as something special or to make some money or to just stir up trouble. And there is a lot of false doctrine out there, a whole lot of it. And it will increase more and more the closer we get to the end times. So we have these guidelines in here. We have these true teachings of the doctrine, and we have these examples of false teachers and what they are doing. So we got a lot of opportunity to be able to learn the truth and opportunities to be able to stand firmly on the truth and to share that with others. So let's do that. Stand on sound doctrine that can be found in the Word of God. taught by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's so awesome. Help us to always have that burning desire to dig deep in there, to find that faith-building knowledge, to find that doctrine that we can stand so firmly upon. Encourage us to go out and share that with others. Thank you so much for the opportunity as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.